Excuse me. We need to swear in first.
Yes, I see that. Joe, you need to register the oath.
Raise your right hand. Do you and each of you solemnly swear that you will uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of New York, that you will faithfully discharge the duties as a member of the Board of Education, the Beaton Town Central School District, to the best of your ability?
I do.
Good answer. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, call the meeting to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Eric Anderson.
Here.
Karen Armstrong.
Here.
April Bingle.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Debbie Pasino.
Here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Steve Tremblay.
Here. And the city resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. I have some changes. On page 3 of 13, under D, first line, the attendance officer will be Cheryl Turner. And down a few more, the Title IX compliance officer will be Leanne Short. And the next one right under that, the homeless liaison, will be Matt Slattery. So, on page 9, under M, I should say 2012-13 instead of 11-12. And then page 10, under O, the same thing, I should say 2012-13. And then one more on page 12, under F. There will also be a modified football assistant volunteer. I'm sorry. This isn't a volunteer. The one that's there, Craig Bacon, is the volunteer. This one will be a paid position. It's a modified football assistant. It'll be Mike Bordo. And the salary will be $2,317.
Bordo.
B-O-R-D.
And that is all the changes.
Motion to approve changes.
By Richard.
Second.
By Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Three. Joanne, do I run this or do you? I do it. And 3A, resolve that the Board of Education recommends. Get some nominations for president.
Nomination. Leonard King.
I'll second that.
By Leonard King. By Richard. Seconded by Karen. Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Okay, can I have a roll call, please?
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
April Bingle.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Abstain.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Tremblay?
Yes.
you just lost.
He will do that. He'll take care of that.
King, please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear that you will uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that you will faithfully discharge the duties as President of the Board of Education of the Beaventown Central School District to the best of your ability.
Hand him his glove.
I'll get your signature.
Okay, item B, resolve that the Board of Education recommends. Yes.
I'd like to nominate Pauline Stone.
I'll second that.
Kathy already had her hand up.
He stays here.
Aaron Armstrong, Kathy seconds. Any other nominations? Yes, roll call. No other nominations?
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
Aaron Armstrong?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trumbly?
Yes.
Musical chairs.
You want to stay there or you want to move? It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Just give her a second.
Right now, okay.
You solemnly swear that you will uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that you will faithfully discharge your duties as Vice President of the Board of Education of the Beaventown Central School District to the best of your ability.
I will.
A second.
Give me a second. Okay. Just gained 10 votes.
C, resolve that the Board of Education appoint Andrew Currier as ex officio student board member effective July 1st, 2012, and ending June 30th, 2013.
Motion. Second.
Sorry.
You can have the honor. This is the first time.
Kathy,
me. Second by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item D is an hour before. Okay, appointment of officers. Resolved that the Board of Education appoint Joanne Menard to serve as clerk of the Board of Education during the 2012-13 fiscal year at an annual salary of $1,870 with an indemnity amount of $100,000.
Motion.
Motion by Karen.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes. District Treasurer, resolved that the Board of Education appoint Eric Bell to serve as treasurer of this district during the 2012-13 fiscal year at an annual salary of $46,500 with an indemnity amount of $1 million. Motion from April?
Second.
Second from Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Tax collector. Resolved that the Board of Education appoint Linda Guerin to serve as tax collector of this district during the 2012-13 fiscal year at an annual salary of $5,500 with an indemnity amount of $1
million. Motion.
Motion from Pauline. Second from Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Internal Claims Auditor. That the Board of Education appoint Lynn Darcy as the Internal Claims Auditor of this district during the 2012-13 fiscal year at an hourly rate of $20 with an indemnity amount of $100,000.
Motion.
Motion by Karen.
Second.
Second by Eric. And all in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Other appointments. Okay, we're going to block this system like we have in the past. that's, if there's anything that we're doing wrong, stop us.
You're okay with that.
Okay, other appointments, it could be school physician, school attorney, independent auditor, and the fiscal year of attendance officer and all that.
You can do it.
Well, we can go through.
Move the list.
So there was.
B through E.
A through E. Second one?
I'll second.
Richard and.
Oh, I'm just taking it then, Mr. Amo suggested yesterday there might be a change in Dr. Patnaud's conditions, but there's not then.
No changes, and the resolution as printed in the agenda is still active.
Okay, everybody understand what we're voting on? I block. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Okay, the next block will be from F through.
I have a question on that before we block it.
Okay, go ahead.
My question on this is when we appoint, I'm not against who we are appointing. It's the A and B health insurance and the consortium. I'd like to know which way, I think the board should have a say before we send anybody, because normally we find out that everybody's voted for and against A, B, whatever, or any combination. And I think the board should have saying, like, we don't want to lose, if we want to keep A, to say that we don't want to lose A when they vote, because they had to vote one time, they wanted to, you know, get rid of A down the road. Well, I'd like us to have a talk about it before we give them the authority to just wipe it away.
But that is, we have to give them kind of charges there. We can't just, we're going to, here we're just okaying the regular organizational meeting. There's nothing in here that says that that's what we're doing.
Okay.
You can do that at the time.
Okay.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Just a question, just for clarification. Mr. Amo will serve with the superintendents on that board, and then our school business executive will serve on the business committee. Is that still the way it works?
That's correct. That's my understanding. It still remains that structure.
Thank you.
So that will go up to H and I.
I'll make a motion for the list.
Yeah.
There's a motion after I.
E through I.
Eric, second.
F through I.
Yeah, F through.
Who,
I believe Richard's motion.
And Eric, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Okay, the next block, well, no, the next one, impartial hearing officer. Whereas Commissioner's Regulation 205 directs that the Board of Education arraign an impartial hearing in accordance with Commissioner's Rules Act. Whereas Commissioner's Regulations require that the rotational election process must be initiated immediately, but not later than 2 business days after receipt of the school district of a written request for hearing. And whereas the Commissioner's Regulations allow the Board of Education to designate one or more of its members to appoint the impartial hearing officer. Once an available impartial hearing officer from the rotational list has been found to be available, it is therefore resolved that the board president or vice president be designated as having the power to appoint an impartial hearing officer who has been selected in accordance with the regulations of Commissioner of Education on behalf of the Board of Education.
Motion. Second.
Debbie, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Again, let's have it. Medical compliance officer. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education appoint Leanne Short, Director of Special Services, 37 Eagle Way, Les Chaisy, New York.
Motion.
Second.
April, second. Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Again, let's have it. Okay, now we're going to block again L, M, and N. Motion from Richard.
Second.
Second from Colleen.
I have a question. I just want to clarify on the hourly rate for Mr. Sierzinski.
Sierzinski?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was one, I believe it was 195. Is that what you?
195. Is that what I said?
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. I just wanted to make sure that way, because it was the only one that wasn't on, so that the public knows.
Any other questions?
Just off of that one. So if you talk to him for 5 minutes, we pay an hour, right?
Absolutely.
No, you don't?
No.
No? Prorate?
Yeah, prorate.
Okay. That's why I asked.
Yeah, and I believe Mrs. Short said that, you know, he's actually, we haven't used him very often, but when we have, it's probably actually saved us money.
He's very good. So. And we don't small talk with him.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Designations. Okay, we can block A, B, and C.
Second.
Motion from Richard, second from Cassie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Okay, item D, resolved that the Board of Education established the following meeting date to 6:15 in the middle school, high school library during the 2012-13 fiscal year.
Motion.
Motion from Karen.
Second.
Second from Richard.
I have some discussion on this.
Yes.
In the past, or at least the past few years, the board's met twice a month. I understand because we have a lot of committees, there's a desire to reduce it.
What's happened, when it originally went quite some years ago, because they had so many committees, the committees were cut back and we went to two meetings a month. Now the committees are there again. So I actually am going to ask that we have a committee section in our agenda every month.
Great.
And to get reports from everybody that has met. There's some of them that don't meet every month, so this is the reason why it cut back, because we just between the two meetings and committees.
Now, is there a concern with the meetings lasting? I mean, they already sometimes last 8:30, 9:30, and now when you add in reports, I mean, we could be going 10, 11 o'clock at night.
We have a time limit. We have a 3-hour time limit.
Yeah, we had set in a time limit there. I think it's 9:15, isn't it?
Yeah, but just to answer a question, like operations committee, we might meet for an hour and 45 minutes, but we can tell you in 5 minutes what happened. That's the difference. But if there's a need for another board meeting in a month, we can have one.
Well, I was just wondering if we could consider having like a secondary meeting, but just making it more, much shorter. So just trying to, you know, front load the agenda in August 14th, and then the next meeting, you know, plan on making it only, you know, a 45-minute meeting, and then having committee meetings either before or after that time.
Well, Eric, when we get into budgets, I'm sure we're going to have to meet more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But at that time, we'll schedule special meetings.
And this might free us up to start that process a little earlier, too.
Plus, he has to do two superintendent updates now, which are time-consuming, and if you only have to do one, it saves him time to do something else. But I was saying again, though, but if we do need it, especially during budget season.
It's not that you, I mean, if we did it, we're going to
Yeah, I think my concern is just, is one, the length of the meetings and trying to get all that work done. And then two, I think, I worry that the public, all of a sudden now they're only seeing us once a month. I mean, I know we're not sitting there having 300 people in the audience watching us, but I'm worried about that perception. And that's why I was thinking a second, you know, a shorter meeting that's just kind of almost, you know, get some of the things that need to be done very quickly, and then going on to committee meetings or having committee meetings before.
Eric, in this area, we're one of the few that have two meetings a month. Most of the schools only have one. That's April.
Is there a possibility of a compromise in that maybe January, February, March, and April budget season, we do two meetings a month? I know you say that we're going to add them in, but...
I think that actually we can decide at that time. As we see it, that we need.
We always have to have.
We'll have to have them. That's all.
Okay.
Okay.
But they'll be advertised the same as
ever.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Just in support of what you're saying, when I came on the board, there was one meeting a month. Then there was a discussion that the second meeting would just be policy. And then it turned into two full board meetings a month. So the fact that you're taking us back in history, I support.
Well, one of the things, we are going to have a policy committee, and so that should help some of that. So.
Now, are the committee meetings, at least some of them, are open to the public, and some, I assume?
They all are. Yeah.
Are they all are?
Any meeting is open to the public.
Yep. Okay. I mean, except for maybe potentially like some of the negotiation committees, I would assume some of those.
Okay.
Negotiations are all
right. Right, right. Okay, I just yeah. want to make sure so that.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Does this lock us into having all of these meetings here? And I ask this because there's something that down the road I've wanted to throw out there. I know some people have suggested that with having the two schools, it would be nice if we could throw a meeting out at Cumberland Head once in a while, and I don't know if that's something we could consider.
We usually have one meeting out there a year at the Christmas time,
okay.
The holiday time. We do usually, but I don't know. Has that been considered this year? I mean, it has to be along with the.
I mean, can we depart from this? Is what I'm asking. If we wanted to have a meeting out at that other location, we can do that.
We just advertise it where it's going to be. Yes.
Okay. Okay, and maybe during budget season we could throw one out that way too. Good, yep. Good.
We maintain just general information for certainly the newest board members. It might be helpful to know. We maintain the calendar of board meetings on our website.
Yes.
So it's always anytime we make a change to that calendar at the wishes of the board, we also inform the public on the website as well. That's one point. Second point is, we have the board has in the past. Asked for, and we certainly accommodated us moving the site to a different location. Cumberland Head has been the site that has been most recently and most often used. The third piece would be as a reminder, as I put in one of my updates to everybody, the period of time between board meeting and board meeting, I still wish to maintain a communication link with you at with a delivery in that month. So that because if there's information breaking, that's going to affect your next agenda. So you don't want to wait 3.5 weeks before you get that notice and only 2 days or 3 days to think about it. So still expect from me an update delivered to you, even though there isn't any formal agenda. It'll be an update of information of activities that might constitute a next agenda. It might be something to be prepared for. So I want to maintain that, you know, kind of communication so that period of time doesn't seem so long. That helps with your conversation.
I have one last question. Are we running into any potential timing issues with things like executive session related to responding in a timely fashion to any grievances or complaints? Is that something where we would just, you know, announce a special meeting and then just convene it, most likely on the typical Tuesday, and then just. Yeah. We notify the public, but it's just an executive session. So, I mean, if they want to show up and then have to leave. They can
In part, Mr. Anderson, once the flow of information comes from my updates to you, it will be obviously a conversation with the board president as to is there a need based on the timeliness of this issue. Perhaps you would like to consider calling a special board meeting. And that gives us time to do the announcement to everybody and to the public that there is a special board meeting. It might be just to go into executive session and make a short meeting, but no one can know ahead of time until we know what the issues are, how long a meeting that is going to be.
Okay.
I have a quick one. Since we're going back to the 1 day a month, I think it would behoove us that if you, normally now that you ask us at the end of the meeting, is there any new business? I think you're going to need to preempt that. If you have something you want to discuss, you're going to need to get a hold of the board president or superintendent so they can make sure it'll fit in that meeting so that we're not there for 3-4 hours and then go on and on and on and on so that we can space it so that we don't have 6 things to talk about. So if you get them in on time and then get them into the agenda, well, then if that fills up the night, it's already in there. So that we don't have, like you say, 6-7 hour meetings because everybody keeps coming up with something that night. You're going to probably have to space it if we're only going to have the one meeting.
Yep. Each agenda, as this one does, has a section for other items for discussion. If I'm probably, this would be a suggestion, that would be a time for the full board to say, boy, there's X, Y, or Z that we'd like some additional research on in preparation for the next meeting. That's where the timeliness of a mid-two-week interval I could send out what the board has had an interest for me to research in one of my packets, and then you'd be prepared for that next board meeting to see it ideally on the agenda. That's the choice.
And also, there's times when it gets around holidays and stuff, we might not go 2 weeks. We might just go a week and go to the end of the meeting if we have a meeting the following week. If it's needed. I think we'll have all the meetings we want before we're done. All right. Everybody ready to vote?
Yep.
All in favor?
Yes.
Against? Ayes have it. Okay, we're going to block under the authorizations to certify payrolls, conferences, convention, workshops.
We'll be there.
Okay, sounds good to me. Second on that?
Just A and B, if I know.
No, A and F, you said.
Oh, A and F.
A and F, okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, Steve seconded. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes? Okay, budget transfers. Resolved that the Board of Education authorized the superintendent of schools to approve budget transfers up to including $5,000 for this district during the 2012 fiscal year and to submit a monthly written report to the Board of Education summarizing all transfers occurring during the month.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Second by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? H, resolved that the Board of Education authorized Eric Bell, district treasurer, to use the piecemeal signature of a check signer machine. Mary LaValle Lane, school business executive, is authorized to use a piecemeal signature as a check signer in the absence of Eric Bell.
Second.
April, Cassie. Any discussion?
Did that
reach in April, or is
it
Kathy in April?
Doesn't matter. Put it April and Kathy. Okay. Definitional.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Other items. We'll block.
On to F.
A to D.
Okay. Motion.
Second.
Second.
Second. Pauline. Any questions?
We're just doing this because this is just...
Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Against? Transportation. Resolved, superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to acknowledge during the 2012 school year the necessity of certain bus drivers to park their buses at their residence in lieu of a bus garage with prompt approval of the school business executive.
I have a question about that.
Motion.
Motion. Motion. And a second?
Second.
Second. Karen. Any questions?
Yes. What kind of criteria is used to determine the necessity of doing that rather than having the bus here?
First of all, we don't have the facilities here to be able to. Well, I probably should let Shane
available.
Shane,
do you hear the question, Shane?
Yeah, yes, I did. It's a combination of things. One is space here. And the second thing is we try to fit the run to the driver too. So if the driver lives up in West Sheezy, we may allow them to take their home, the bus home in West Sheezy and start in West Sheezy. I know it doesn't happen all the time, but you have to live within the district too to also be able to bring your bus home. We do have drivers that live outside the district.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
And is there a reason why it's being done by the school business executive and not Shane? Who's making the final, I guess, determination?
Money.
Don, I can't answer that.
I mean, I'm just wondering if
I don't know.
I mean, it may be he makes the final, kind of makes the final determination. The school bus business executive has to make the final, but most part just follows his.
Business executive. Probably for that basis, I think you might be right. That expend any. I think if there's any. So, are there mileage claims involved or anything with the drivers who take their buses home?
No.
Okay, so that can't become a social.
I think it's approval of the list he submits.
Well, I think if, like in years past, I think the transportation director fell under the school business executive. But that has not been that way since I've been here. I've been under your direction, Mr. Ramel. So, that I don't think the wording's ever been changed.
There we go.
Would we prefer if, I mean, if Shane's the person who makes the final determination, really? I mean,
I think if she's not his boss.
No.
But I believe that's why I'm saying should he be in charge?
Well, I think it comes down to this: if it's the boss, that's one thing. If it's because it's, do we authorize it because it's going to cost us money one way or the other? That's the only reason it would be under good school business. If letting someone park their car in a year or park the bus at home cost us money total for the year, could it be considered money and it's under her? Because what I'm saying, if you live, like you're saying, it isn't everybody. They try to put the run about where you are, but they can't guarantee it. So what if you live here, but you're going to Dixon Point? So I have no clue.
Could it possibly be because Mary oversees the insurance?
Well, why don't we just, I mean, I'm happy with Mary handling it. Maybe we can ask her, and then she may have she may say there's no reason it needs to be me, and we can
redo it.
But it could be insurance, it could be a financial thing, it could be numerous things. So
they can do it as an and or, be done with it.
Yeah. Just add the and or the superintendent.
Add me to it as an and or.
There's none.
And if it's not a Mary, it'll always be me, and if it's not me, it'll always be a Mary.
Do we have a significant amount of drivers who keep their bus at their own home?
Shane?
I don't know the exact number, but it's about half or a little better than half. But I did do an analysis this year that I gave Mr. Remo, and if you calculated it out at $4 a gallon, that was just a rough guesstimation. I know
it's the best way to go, you've determined?
It's the best way to go. We actually save about $15,000 a year by allowing this.
Also, they plug in their buses at their own.
And we don't pay for that anymore. We used to. There used to be a stipend for that. That's gone.
I have no idea. I've never seen anybody get paid for it. So
I thought there was.
Right. So, and the bus drivers provide that at home?
They supply the cord. They supply the electricity.
And we don't have the facility to do all that.
So that cost wasn't even factored in when I did the analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Do we want to amend the motion to change it to business executive or the superintendent? And then it's done.
Wishes of the board. Okay, let's do that. That's the motion.
It'll be done. I make the motion.
You amend it, and you're amending your second.
I'll second it.
So it's school business executive and or superintendent. All right. I like the idea of the check and balance. Yeah. Somebody else.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? We're real slow now.
Yeah. We got to practice.
Okay.
Get rid of that.
Tuition rates.
But Mama Bean said.
Tuition rates. Result that the Board of Education established the 2012-13 non-resident tuition rate for the district as listed below. This is based upon New York State Educational Department state aid prescribed methodologically.
Motion.
Okay.
Second one question.
Second. Kathy,
I just want clarification, and I think I already know the answer, but I just want clarification. When it comes to kids with special needs that are tuitioned into our district, their home district pays for their special needs extra? No.
Leanne,
you
want to
go ahead?
Yes.
Please.
No, that's not true. If you accept tuition, you cannot accept. You can't deny a child's special needs.
Now you're differentiating.
Right. So we have the cost. If I could stack it, if it came, you know, if it was really high, I could stack it. But no, it is more expensive if you have a disabled student than if you just get free tuition.
And the adequate description stacking.
Oh, after a certain number, three times our PAPU, when we get off the budget run, I get that much back. I can stack it, the paperwork process, and it takes about a year and a half when we get it back. But you still lose. You would lose, like, if it was between the 9,000 and the 31,000. That's my high cost right now, is around 31,000. Mm-hmm. So you eat that cost.
How does it work if a family, let's say they move out of this district into another district in the middle of the school year, but they obviously don't, they want to keep their kids. Are they now considered out of tuition, or is it, how does that work, and is it prorated or anything?
Good question. It's basically a timing issue. If a resident family in the district that did not pay tuition moves out of the district to another, we would ask for, and but wishes to stay, we would prorate the tuition costs for them to be able to stay. With it, rare exception, it's April or May, and they're a senior. And the question is, do you charge the tuition for the graduation for purposes of them graduating in the month? So it's a little bit of a call, quite frankly, but I tend to lean toward the timing is to the advantage of the district in terms of asking for a prorate pay to remain in the district. And then I would certainly then bring to the board if I really had a conflict in my mind with a different family as to that kind of determination. Then I'd bring it to the board's attention, so give me some guidance what you'd like to do.
Okay.
All questions answered. A motion to accept. Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Against. Okay, sorry. Okay, we're going to go block from G through J.
Motion.
Motion from Richard. Second.
Second.
Second from Karen.
I have some questions. We were given some information on the substitute teacher pay, and we seem to be higher than most all the other districts. Mm-hmm. But in some of them, they don't differentiate between certified and non-certified. So overall, depending on what our percentages of certified and non-certified, we may be about the same. I'm just wondering, do we have any, you know, what percentage of our substitutes are non-certified? What percentage are certified? Is there...
It's constantly changing because they might accept the position. You know what I'm saying? You could have a certified one and they get hired and then you
well, I'm just wondering, like, if it's, I mean, yeah. You know, is it 60, 40,
do we,
roughly?
Do you have
50?
Any input?
We can pull it. Gary will pull it off. We're trying to get online.
We have a program in general terms, we have a balance. We have balancing, if you will, of certified versus non-certified. Our system is set up that we obviously want to have certified teachers in front of our children when a certified teacher is not there. That isn't always possible to do based on the calling system and their availability or not available. But we want to also make a distinction in price or compensation, if you will, for the fact that somebody is a certified teacher versus someone who isn't a certified teacher. In terms of the actual amounts, just a quick point on my email, that was referencing four of our neighboring largest districts. There are a number of other districts in our OCs that I didn't do the research on those to see if they're higher
right.
or lower.
Right.
And I thought as a balance, as a reference point, you want to know what the comparable size districts are.
Right.
That's why I included
right.
that information.
And then I guess I have, one of the questions would relate to how many substitutes do we typically need in a school year? Is it, you know, is it 500 days worth substitutes? Is it 1,000? I only ask because, you know, if it's 500 and it's $5, now we're only talking 2,500. If it's 2,000 and it's $5, now we're talking, you know, $10,000. And then I guess my last question would be, do we have any information as to, because we have a higher rate than some of the other ones, do we find a quicker acceptance? So, you know, it may cost us a little bit, but in the end, it saves us a hassle that we decide, you know, for the minor increase in cost, it's actually worthwhile for us to make sure, because if a teacher gets called, you know, this math teacher gets called, they always pick us because they know they're going to, you know, get an extra $5-$10 for that.
Dan, can you answer us that? Do you have any problem getting teachers?
It seems that when one building is in need of subs, we're all in need of subs. Oftentimes we're going for professional development or there's testing going on. And so in an average day, we usually have sub coverage. We have run a bit short this year, but we've been shorter in other years. We've had more. It really depends on the sub pool. But when there's a need, there's a need. So I wish it was easy and I could just say yes or no, but it seems to ebb and flow with the seasons and what's going on in the district and in the community, other schools being involved too.
Don't they have their name on more than one list anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume most of them are on probably all the major districts. I mean, that's what they try and do because they're substitutes, so you know, they want to give themselves
the sub list, if you will, is an ongoing thing each month at board meetings. You may have seen it happen last year that I'll be bringing continually more names to add to our substitute list. Our system is set up that we ask our teachers to put into the system their preferences, you know, up to three or four. If I'm ever out, here's my group. I'd like to have the system call first. So sometimes we're able to match it up. Ideally, that's why you do that. You hope you can get the right sub to go to the right math room. Not everybody, especially if it's a non-certified, is going to be able to step into a more technical class and say, I can do this without a lot of trouble. So that has helped us as well. In terms of it being an incentive, whether or not the dollar incentive it is an incentive, don't know if we have enough data to say it does or it doesn't, quite frankly, because we're all pulling from this, all of the districts are basically pulling from the same group of people. It's where they live and their proximity to where they are asked to go. Here's the rate, and I'm paying my own gas. Do I get a better deal by saving 12 miles away going here? Or, you know, it becomes a very individual decision. I would say that we've maintained a pretty highly qualified group of substitutes that we call on. And it's only when we can't reach the people we're trying to get to that I often will hear from the principals that, you know, here's a person, and if we get a chance, we don't really want that person back. That's not common. But we try to monitor that. Otherwise, the infrequency of that concern tells me that they're happy themselves.
The other part of that, too, is it's not monetary, but when you're going down the road, you've had those subs in and you're interviewing, you already know what they're capable of because they've subbed here. So if a little bit more money, if they come here, more of them come here, then later on when they're applying, you know a lot of them because they've already worked here and you said, no, I don't want this one. Then.
Gary, you got some data for us?
I have some data. It's all available, just a question of how to pull it. Right now, inclusive of all substitutes, non-instructional and instructional, it's taking longer to disaggregate them, but we have approximately 138 active subs at this point. Of those, 85 of those are certified instructional teachers. So the vast majority are. And I'll pull the days that you're looking for as soon as I can.
One of the criteria to be a substitute teacher at Beamontown is you either are certified or you have a four-year degree. Some of the other districts only require a two-year degree, but we require a four-year degree.
Thank you. All right. All questions answered? Are you voting? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Okay, we're going to move K and L.
Motion.
Motion from Richard.
Second
from Colleen. All in favor?
I have a question. Now, this correction of the tax roll and tax bill, this amount of $2,500, is that the entire, I mean, our tax roll is, what, $17 million? I mean, is our tax levy? What is, I'm just trying to understand
Per correction.
And that's only on it, like, it's not actually on your tax bill, it's on your amount. So, for example, if my house was $150,000, as long as it was within $152,500, he would have.
Some of the tax bills, when they're printed, they you get star exemption, maybe it's omitted, and they need to be corrected because it's under $2,500, it doesn't come to the board level. But if it was over that, you know, like the big businesses, when their assessment's reduced or stuff, that comes to the board table.
So basically, any household, because you're talking their tax levy amount of $2,500.
Their tax bills when they're.
So my tax bill, let's say, even for my whole house, was less than $2,000.
Right,
yours
would not come to the board table.
So no matter what happens with me, right, it would never come to the board.
Right. Right.
So it's only the only time it would come to the board is what we're saying is if it's basically a very large business. Or somebody who has a multi-million dollar home.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's going to be business.
Commercial properties usually where this comes into play. I suppose it's possible, depending on the size of the residence, if there's barns and other things.
Right, right.
As a residence, it could happen, but the vast majority of the corrections are because there's been a challenge by a business or a corporation as to what its tax code.
Hi. You asked for the total number of absences. I haven't by month. I haven't because it only does that by month.
Gary, let me close this. All in favor of this motion?
Aye.
Against? Okay, now Gary.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
By month, if you want to write them down, these are substitutes. These are absences that which required a sub, and this is all of them, instructional, non-instructional.
Right.
September, 280. October 415, November 424, December 478, January 434, February 366, March 575, April 459, May 634, and June 463.
That seems like a lot.
There we have something like a superintendent's day when you have a whole bunch of teachers that have to cover this.
But we have 230 students in, or teachers in our district. Mm-hmm. 240.
Yeah, but this is instructional and non-instructional, right? So I'd assume it includes.
Not quickly.
I said no.
I certainly can. But
he doesn't want to.
No, it'll just take me a little
while. He'd like
while.
To go home tonight.
No, I can do it. If desired, we can split that any way you want.
Thank you.
Yes, you can do it by building, by employee type.
Okay, let's continue on here. Item M, resolve the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to establish the following school meal prices for the 2012-13 school year. Motion from Richard.
Second.
Second from Karen. Any questions? Roll call, please.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Debbie Pasner.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Drumley.
Yes. Item M, resolve that the upon recommendation from the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the Beaver County Central School District intent to participate in 2013 Special Education School Aid Summer School and agrees to pay the actual CEWW BOCES cost for the 2013 summer school.
Second.
Any questions?
Just a comment. Leanne was kind enough to tell me why, because I wonder why we were participating, because we're bringing back kids. The ones that went there this year are going to go there. So it's better for the kids, and then as they pull back, they won't. So that's why we're participating, but not greatly.
Thank you for explaining that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Can I call him dead for this?
Okay, item O. I can give you the names now, or I can give them to you later. Unless anybody that wants to talk about it, that's why I'm saying I can go through quickly and say the people that are on this committee.
So we're just assigned?
Yeah. We're assigned, yes.
Not present.
I'm selecting the best people I think that should be there. And like I said, right now, the audit committee, I have selected Kathy, Karen, and Pauline Stone. On operations, I've selected Richard Levine, Steve Trombley, Eric Anderson.
Wait a minute.
Okay, you're jumping around.
Yeah, you're jumping around.
Well, okay, that's
right.
Okay.
So, Richard, I'm sorry, operations was Richard.
Richard,
Eric,
Eric, and Eric.
Just
send out
an email with all this.
Yeah, we'll follow up in a minute.
Hopefully, there won't be that many.
A committee of nine. I've got Debbie, Eric, and April on that.
Great.
Health and safety, I've got myself and Debbie. Professional development, I've got Kathy Buckley and Pauline Stone. The shared decision-making committee, That's Steve Trombley, Debbie Passanel, and April Bingle. And UPK Advisory, Kathy Buckley.
Hello, committee.
Now, this year is the additional committees we've added on this year. The Cafeteria Committee, Karen Armstrong, April Bingle.
Can I ask what the purpose of that one is?
Karen, do you want to explain?
I can cover for you. I think Karen on this one for a minute. The Cafeteria Committee is being requested to be created to provide information and basically for the full board to know about the operations, the total operations of the cafeteria. We always have, the board always struggles with resolution of the budgeting for the cafeteria because it's ideally by designed to be a self-funding.
Well, we talked a little about that today. Okay.
Yeah. And the idea, I think, of the committee is to research how it's done, what we do, and are there better ways to do it or suggest that could be done to minimize overall district costs.
Great. Thank you.
Can I cover that okay, Karen?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay, the next one I have here is the Policy Committee. I have selected Debbie, Richard, and Eric to be on that one. And last but not least on the regular committees, the Exit Interview Committee, I've got Steve, Pauline, and Eric on that one. Now, under the Policy Committee, Steve had volunteered to go under the last two to help him out on it. So he will be assisting you under them two that you had in your update.
Oh, okay.
As far as the
portrait
dress code and
dress code and portrait.
But after that, people.
Yeah, those will be topical meetings. One meeting should come up.
Yeah.
Okay,
now we're going into the negotiation committees. For the BTA, we've got Steve, Debbie, and Eric. For the support staff, I've got Pauline and April. And for the support staff supervisor, I've got Karen and Steve. Now, something that we didn't do last year was the school liaison for the high school, middle school. You've been telling them elementary, Cumberland had elementary, but this year here, I'd just like the people to meet with these principals and stuff. We did this a couple of years ago. On the high school, I have selected myself to meet. On the middle school, I've selected you, Debbie, to meet with the middle school principal. The Beatmantown Elementary is Pauline. Cumberland Head Elementary has selected Eric. And we've got, last year, we started with the bus garage. We had a couple of our members there that met with the bus drivers and stuff. And this year here, I've selected Kathy and Eric. Kathy's been here before and did somebody else to just, you only have a couple meetings a year with them there, wherever you start. So that's committees that I selected. I mean, we can talk about it or whatever after.
There was a question raised regarding not job descriptions, but it might as well be job descriptions for the committees, and I'd be happy to provide information on what currently or has been done with those committees for the members that are associated with the committee, if that helps you,
Well, for example, I didn't even know what the committee of nine was, but somebody helped me kind of give me a heads up of what that is. But I was like, well, that sounds kind of ominous, and what do you do? So that, because some of them are pretty self-explanatory, and with the operations committee, if you've been attending meetings, you've seen you've heard a lot of discussion, and it always says that's an operations committee job, so kind of what they're doing. But
I can fill you in after, because I would.
But with the assignments that are now known, I can communicate directly to those members on that committee to give you more information about the committee, if that's helpful.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
You're going to have the committees pick their own chairs?
Yes, yes. Okay, that was the end of the reorganizational meeting. Continue on with the Board of Education meeting. And first thing is public comment. 5 minutes. Any public comment? Is not? Well, go on to report. Item 10. Superintendent of Schools.
Organizational meetings sometimes are the reports, but I do have a couple of additional items to add to start off our new school year. The district has learned, and I'm going to do kind of a multitask read here, if you'll bear with me. The district has recently learned that it has been awarded 98 computers that are one year more recent models than the computers we already have. I will quickly mention to the previous board members present this evening, I mentioned that to you toward the, I think, May or June, that we were in contention to see if we could get awarded. We were selected. So we have 98 Dell GX280 CPU computers with Pentium, 3.2 for those who are savvy on this stuff, 3.2 gigahertz processor, 512 megabytes for RAM, 40 gigabyte hard drives. The value to these 98 is primarily for replacement parts. That's why we were interested in them, because we want to upgrade our current fleet whenever something breaks down. For free computers, Gary and his team is in a position to dismantle these 98 and steal the motherboard, or steal this, or steal that, and keep our system going, which would otherwise, as we know, as the board knows, would otherwise impact on a technology budget to no end. They're fixed computers or go without them. So I'm bringing this to your attention primarily because when I finish this little speech here, I'm going to need a resolution, if you're comfortable with it, to take action on it, because our present board policy requires that to accept gifts under $2,500, I can do that alone, but the value of those computers brings it closer to somewhere between $4,500 and $5,000 of value to us. Having said that, I'm bringing to your attention that with your approval, with a quick resolution, then I can authorize that we can accept it as a gift. The board is willing to accept this as a gift. And I can add also to that full story that we are prepared tomorrow with driver and truck to go to Albany and pick them up. We have a point of pickup, and then all the paperwork's ready, and we have made all the arrangements pending your support of accepting this gift. So if I can interrupt my presentation and see if there's a desire to have a resolution to do that.
So resolved.
I'll make
a
second.
The resolution will be resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to accept 98 Dell GX280 computers from the New York State Education Department in an amount of approximately $5,000.
Do we have a motion and a second on the board?
I'll second your motion.
Sorry.
And thank you to Gary Lambert and his group. He was very instrumental. I had nothing to do with this. He was very instrumental in hearing about it, researching it, putting a bid in on it, and pestering them enough that they said, well, go away, we'll give you the computers. And so we got them, and that's good news for the district.
We got a motion now. Let's
finish it.
Any other questions or anything on this motion?
We need to roll call it out.
Get a roll call vote on that.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Debbie Passanow?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trumbly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. A couple more quick items. School Boards Association has asked, as some of you will recall, for responses to a survey that was seeking your input as to what dinner topics do you wish as a board to have the school boards set up for the meetings this year. As of tonight, we did receive 3 responses. That's a tongue-in-cheek reminder that we'll still take responses from individual members. The sooner, the better, but school boards is asking for a board representative list. Meaning take all of yours and I'm going to rank ordering of where the number ones came in, and with your permission, because we probably are going to meet again between now and when the deadline is, I would submit to them this board's preferences of topics. That makes life easier if you can get those responses to me so I can tally them, okay? And that has to be communicated to them prior to July 16th, today's 10th. Right? So that way you can drop them off, you can email them, you I'll tally up what we got, and we'll communicate the preferences from there. On another school board association matter, Dana Smith, many of you know Dana, who has served as our Area 6 school board's representative, has communicated his intention to not serve in that position next year. As a result, there will be nominations for his replacement. That school boards can make nominations of someone to replace him. School boards will take any nominations from boards to as a person to consider to vote. All the boards would then vote, much like BOCES officers, etc. So this board can or not make a recommendation to say we would nominate so-and-so or not. I just want you to know that it won't be Dana Smith, that there is at least one other school district, Saranac Lake, has already submitted a profile of a person. They have a board member in Saranac Lake, and they have nominated that person to be his replacement. If there are more than one names of nomination, then I'm told that in early August, the school boards will communicate back to us and say, please ask your board to vote. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 nominations. What's your vote as a school board? So I mention that because if you have any individuals on the board or the board itself wishes to make a nomination to replace Dana Smith, tonight's not too late or too early. And otherwise, you'll be having an opportunity in August to vote on who was nominated. I've just mentioned there's one so far that I'm familiar with on the Saranac Lake. I'm not familiar with any other names.
I'll look around this table.
So this is a letter we received from Esther Sherman?
That's correct. That's the individual from the Saranac Lake.
No one else has nominated.
She indicated to her own board to get nominated, and that's why you see a copy of her letter. It's asking her board to nominate her. I believe they did. But I just want you to know that you can, as a board, nominate yourself somebody. It's not that this is the person you have to nominate or not support. You'll have a chance to vote on the cast players.
So do we have any, is anybody on this board interested?
That's my question. I'm reading my language pretty well.
Guys, just.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Final comment. We have an all-day negotiation session with the BTA and the district scheduled for July 19th in my office to continue to work on the APPR plan. It's those four letters that come to have multiple interpretations, I would quickly tell you. Annual professional performance review is what those letters stand for, and we have an obligation to submit to the state a plan for the new evaluation system involving the evaluation teachers, connected to the evaluation of administrators, all connected to performance of students in the school. It's a very comprehensive, lengthy process and a lot of work to it. And I've already belabored those points in the past, so I won't tonight. But I just wanted you to know we have another full-day session on the 19th that's scheduled. Progress has been good up to this date. I feel good about that. And we will have our labor negotiators for BTA will be present, as well as Dan Mannix, who is our labor negotiator for BOCES, which represents our district, there for that session to ease through the pieces that have to be negotiated. Several of the parts are not negotiable parts, but the parts that take time are the parts that you have to get agreements of all the parties that this is what we agreed to that be done with the plan. Yeah, and I know I'll mention quickly, Dan is here, and he knows it, I just mentioned, but Dan will also be present for executive session at another night. So that's my update. Thank you.
Okay. School business executive, she was at a doctor's appointment. It will go on to the minute result. The Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on 6/26/12.
Second.
Motion Richard, second by Eric. All in favor?
Yes.
Against? New business, CSE recommendation. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendation dated 7/10/12.
I'm going to mark that one down.
Okay, there is one thing I want to say on the CSE. We need to have them picked up because there's names on them.
from the table after you review them, so you turn them in to me, so we.
Right, yeah, no, I agree. I don't want them anyways. So at the end of the meeting or right now?
Just circulate them, I'll grab them, and put them on the table.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Against? Item D, result of superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approval of CPSE recommendation 7-10-12.
Motion.
Motion, Kathy?
Second.
Second, Holly. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, personal resignations. Result that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education accept the following resignation dated on the date indicated. Richard and Steve. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Appointments. Result the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education approve the Board of Education Courier stipend in the amount of $1,200 for Calvin Usman for our 7-1-12 to
6-30-13.
Motion.
Second.
Motion for Richard, second by Kathy.
That's for your garbage bags on your door. That's for your garbage bags in your door.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Item B, resolve the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve a stipend in the amount of $4,450 from 7-1-12 to 6-30-13 for Chet Wood as the district-wide building checker.
Motion.
Motion from Eric.
Second.
Second, Holly.
What does that do?
What it does, it checks the buildings when they're not in session on weekends. So if you have a holiday, they still check the buildings, make sure, check it every time that it's not in session. So someone checks them periodically.
So make sure nothing's unlocked or opened or water running out of something.
It helps us in our liability, like we need insurance and everything like that, if you have someone checking.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Item C, resolve that superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education to approve the following individuals for the mandated incarcerated youth PPE program for Cook County Jail. For the 2012-13 fiscal year. The scheduling is completed by Gilbert Murray, grade coordinator, based upon student enrollment. The hourly rate pay is $35 per hour, with the program subsidized by the New York State SED and the New York State statute.
Second.
So this is for students of ours who are?
It's students for the county that are in the Clinton County Jail.
They're in our district. They're in our district. Because they're physically in our district. But we get money for it.
Oh, because the jail is in our okay.
Yeah, and we have coordinated.
We hope she never resigned.
Our unit, but we also have employees who serve various roles there. So this resolution is always required to offer this district.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? The result, the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint the following for special education summer school effective 7-16-12 and ending 8-15-12.
Motion.
Motion, Pauline.
Second.
Second, Karen. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Resolve the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
Second.
Move the list.
Okay. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the following fall athletic appointments for the 2012-13 season.
Move the amended list.
Second.
Richard, Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointments as indicated.
Motion.
Motion from Karen.
Second.
Second from Kathy.
I have a question.
Yes.
On this, in regards to, we had a typist resign? Is this, I mean, is this something where we, this part-time typist, is, are we taking it from somebody who has, do we, you know, do we have any layoffs that this is replacing, or how is that? I'm just trying to understand.
Do you have any brief description of how the sequence works in that regard?
This is the person we're bringing back that got laid off.
On a rebar.
No, she's not on a rebar.
Oh, no, excuse me. That's why I asked you.
No, because it's non-competitive because of the hours.
Okay.
17 and a half hours a week, which is non-competitive, but we laid her off back in at the end of June.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Policies. Resolved that the Board of Education review the following policies. Investment 6240 and purchasing 6700.
Motion
from Richard.
Second.
Second from Debbie. Any questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Financial results of the Board of Education. Accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee.
Move A through C.
We're moving all,
A through C.
All three of them?
Yeah. Might as well.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Steve. Any questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Ayes have it. Okay, the additional items to discuss. Board retreat. For the new people that have never been here, we normally get together and talk about what our goals are and just get things, get used to one another and stuff like that. Now, I do have, I asked Joanne to look it up, and I have some papers here. I will pass around to see if we're interested in it. Of course, no matter any time you go out, it always costs money, so. Of this year, we only have $2,000 in our budget, so I don't know if we want to blow everything we have. But we get some help from NISBA's program. If you're interested in it, if you're not, I guess we'll meet without it until.
Just to pass on the new board members, this is never any fun. You have to come up with board goals and.
District.
And they blur in your head. It's hard. It's like you're talking about your five-year planning. This is like one-year planning. What are you going to do for the next year out of all the options that you have? So that's basically what it is. I mean, yeah, you get together and we know each other, but you're setting the next year's agenda basically going forward. Because once we accept them, that's what the school executive follows. So if you say we want to improve this, that's what he's going to work on. That's basically what this is.
Well, actually, this training right here, you have the options on the back of this paper showing you what they will offer for training. You're not going to get them all, but I don't know. I don't know if they offer just one item or if they can cover more than one item. But if you're interested in it, we can check further and call and see what they're doing.
What have we done in the past, and is it usually do we usually meet on the weekend or during the week or
board retreats in the past have been set up with a night announced for the general public to know that the board is meeting to do its doing a retreat. I have facilitated, superintendent generally has facilitated that event, and I echo the comments made from a couple of board members. It's It's difficult in the sense that there's so many directions and issues confronting education today that to get our board to zero in and settle down and focus on the major what you want takes discussion, takes dialogue, takes giving and taking, takes maybe, it takes compromising, it does all of those things. But that's the board's goal portion of it. The district's goal portion of it, I bring it generally to the board suggestions from my point of view as to what goals for the district would be. And I'll answer questions, I'll offer my opinions, but it's entirely the board setting the goals, if you will, for the next year. I also, as part of that session, bring an evaluation, if you will, or feedback on the goals that were in place the previous year. So we'd say, if we had goal X, so do we need it? And I'll provide the board with data as to whether it did, whether it did not. You'll have questions about why not, et cetera. It's generally, from a decorum point of view, it's pretty casual in the sense of swapping, talking, sharing. There's no really formal procedure other than I kind of stimulate the conversation with some data from this year and a couple of thoughts to get the ball rolling, and then I just take ideas and we go from there. So typically the meetings have been have been in the early hours of an evening, which could involve joining around supper time, if you will, and having lunch or breakfast, some kind of supper meal prepared for the purpose of let's make this a working evening, if you will.
So are they acting like facilitators, or are they actually looking at our data and giving us something?
Now, again, on this question of what have we done in the past, that's I'm limiting my comments to that. On the brochure that the board president has passed out to you, it's an offer from School Boards Association to play a more active role in helping boards. Typically, they do these kinds of announcements when new boards are elected, helping new board and existing boards zero in on strategies of operation, critical of what's happening in the state that you may want their insight into alerting you to. They'll share some of their perspectives on how they can help school boards throughout the year, but they also will be, I'm looking at this particular one, they would also be saying, let us give you some information on guiding how you conduct yourselves, how you do your business, when to do it, where to do it, that kind of stuff. They give good training. They literally is a training session for school boards. But you can tailor it, back to Mr. Levine's comment, you can tailor it to be that same night, and they can work with it, the stuff that I just talked about, or this can happen by itself, and this can be a separate thing where you get a more focused training on being a board and the operations of acting and working together as a board. So that's my information.
I want to hear people's comments.
I just have a question. Is the rate that they have on the back of the brochure, would that be the cost?
Yes.
Do we even have enough money to have three board members trained and do something like this?
We got $2,000.
No, this year's for all of us. This isn't for just.
Yeah, but they still have to
board.
Do
the board training was taken out of this.
Oh, it's $11. It's under 4 hours.
Training was.
Okay, excellent.
Yes. Anybody who didn't hear it, Joanne, would you say that?
Mary said the board training, that we have three members that need to be trained, the money came out of the budget that just ended.
Budget that just ended is covering the cost of
it. It was mandatory training.
So our actual budget for this cost center is, for your board budget is $2,000. This is giving you the reference point of. We typically save about $200 for the banquet, and here's your price for this if you so chose to want to move this way.
My opinion, for $1,100, I think the retreat has been going very good the way we've been doing it. The information gets out. We haven't always met our goals, but we come back with the ones that we haven't met.
The New York State School Board Association has different webinars and things that they do that we may be able to avail ourselves to as a group if we choose to, but at a much reduced cost than this.
Yeah, I just brought this for awareness.
And they have some good topics out there that if we feel that we wanted as a group to assemble and take advantage of that, we could.
Yeah, April?
Well, I would just ask, so if we do have the $2,000 budgeted and we do $200 on a sort of a work type thing, what do you typically do with the rest of the funds you budget for then?
The Area 6 meetings, the crickets meetings.
So do we typically always spend the $2,000, so you wouldn't want to maybe appropriate the...
We used to be able to send any of the board members that wanted to go. Last year, we limited it to two per meeting, which we're going to have to definitely do, depending whatever we have.
So perhaps you would want to do that, and we were doing something like this then that might be more valuable?
Well,
that's the choice of the board. Mm-hmm. That's why
I'm asking experienced board members what they feel if they've gotten more out of those types of meetings.
Well, what I'm trying to do is offer to the new people whatever you think.
Just as an input, though, if you look at it as money, you could make a decision that if people feel we really want to go, then we just don't go to crickets or something else.
I just would like to have the superintendent be involved with doing the district goal for someone.
Okay. I think this is quite a bit to pay, and I really get a lot out of the cricket meeting, the meetings at cricket. They're informative, and they're this area-based topics, this area, and you get a lot out of it, so I would be against this.
I have a quick comment on. Having been on the Board of Education at Seton Academy, we did an annual retreat, and it was very similar. We had a dinner and then had a discussion. And yes, while we had a facilitator, I mean, I think, the 12, 13, whatever ends up being travel expenses, I think it would be a little bit too much. I think it's, if we found somebody who's willing to facilitate, who's maybe outside, who's willing to do it on a volunteer basis, you're going to get just about as much. Because I think the real key is having all the board members together to get a chance to discuss and really, get a chance to hear different things, and more so than I think some of the training we might get.
Yes,
sir. Reading this, they sound more like marriage counselors than anything else. they do. You don't get along with going talk to us. But I would be interested if they had something that was specific, like state, okay, what's coming up in the state? The state's going to do this, state's going to do this, and this is how you can benefit from it, react to it. I'd be much more amenable to that, if they have something like that.
Well, let's get back to what it says here. Then. I just brought that forward. What kind of a date? Is there any dates out there that anybody has in particular?
Well, it's not Wednesday evening. I'm pretty good.
I'm pretty well open.
I'm not going to August.
I would say we're
going to go back to last year's calendar and see approximately when we set the date up last year.
August 15th.
Approximately August 15th?
16th.
Approximately
the 15th. Wasn't approximate either. Actual.
But we're just estimating.
Yeah.
It started at 4:30 and it got done at 6:55.
It seems much longer than that.
It does seem much longer. The August board meeting is the 14th?
Yeah, that's the next regular board meeting is the 14th. So we'd go off of, we wouldn't take that night, we'd take another night.
Either 16th works again. We're voting on the CBS board, which takes 2 minutes.
Yeah,
that's that same date.
Hey, it's my birthday.
What day is it?
We're on vacation.
We can't even tell how old you are anyways this month.
Oh, thank you.
We're away the week of the 7th,
just
and
for
I guess I can make it back here if we need to.
If you have any ideas for goals, write them down prior to the meeting. Because the brain goes numb after about a half an hour, and you don't think of anything else anymore. I don't care when.
What is the choice of the board to have?
I'm pretty well open just about any time. So.
I'm open.
I mean, I think the 7th, if it works for everybody, the 7th would be great. Doesn't work. Okay. So the 7th does work for everybody.
I can survey the board by offering dates, and you can just email
raise
back
your hand
and
say
your preferences, and then I will let you, Joanne as the board clerk, will let you all know.
We'll offer us
the top vote getting for the meeting is blank.
Well, the 21st is the next Tuesday.
So why don't we get down to two options? What about the 16th or the 21st? Is that?
Well, the 16th is a Thursday.
Okay.
I don't know if you want. Usually we stay on Tuesday.
The 7th or the
21st.
And just to clarify, if it has to be a Wednesday, I can make it. It's just
7th.
I have 4 points on Wednesday.
We can get around that.
They usually always keep their meetings on a Tuesday.
We try to do
always do Tuesdays.
so you can plan things.
So far, I think I'm proposing the 7th and the 21st with an email, and you're going to tell me back which of those works for you in the order in which you like them.
Well, okay. The next topic I need, if the board's going to meet, we need a quorum on the 7th. The next topic.
We do need a quorum on the 7th,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, we need a quorum if the board's going to meet to vote.
Oh, for both of you?
Yes.
I'll go.
Who can make here on the 7th?
So what time?
The short one is like
20 minutes.
It's only one person.
As long as we have four.
Six to seven. So,
6 o'clock?
Sure.
6 o'clock and 7.
6 o'clock and 7.
In the superintendent's office?
8, 7, 6.
At night. 18 minutes ago.
Well, just remember,
I don't have to be here for that.
Just remember now, a lot of times people say, well, you only need 5 people. Well, you need 5 yes votes to vote for anybody. So if you have 5 people only show up and one person doesn't want to vote or doesn't like them, then you don't vote for anybody. So it's better to have more people. You know, not just try to make the minimum 5.
So 6 p.m. at the library.
Okay.
So now you're setting the 21st for the next one?
What's that?
I think he was canvassing.
He's going to canvass.
I'm going to canvass. They may want to continue when they keep going on the 7th after they respond, or it will be the 21st.
It will be the 7th or the 21st. Because
if it's the 7th, then we only have to go to 1. If it's the 21st, then we go to 2.
Okay. Open up
to
public comment.
Oh, I have. I'm sorry. I have a couple of things that I wanted to ask about at this time, if I could. A couple months ago now, there was a meeting that took place with the other school districts, or some of our other school districts. And I'm wondering where we are with that. There was talk that there would be another one. But now Peru has seen, they spearheaded that meeting, and their superintendent has changed and their board president has changed. Is somebody organizing that? And if not, where do we sit in that process?
We were hoping to have it here for the next session. I don't know, because it was the end of the year, summer vacations and everything, we haven't really corresponded back. But there's a lot of people there that are interested in meeting here. We were actually looking to expand it to get some of our local school districts around here. I don't know if you've heard anything further.
No, I would only comment that, that at the end of that meeting, for those who were present, I could leave you with everything. There was interest on the part of all the participating districts who were there and their board members to say we should do this again. And what is this that they did for those who weren't there? What they did was brainstorm ideas about what can all of the area districts consider doing as a way of improving both their efficiencies, but primarily their costs for those services. And topics like shared services would be brought up, topics like potential reorganization within a district, topics like merging districts. You know, some are less political and painful than some of the other ones, which are major involvements. So the concept was to have the superintendents and the board just have an open opportunity to just hear each other swap talk possibilities. Some of those ideas, many of the ideas may never take fruition for some district. One of those ideas may be with that board for that district says, no, we're going to do this. So the question became, can we do this again? We left the session with that unanswered. The answer was yes, we'd all like to do it. But as Mr. King has pointed out, Ms. Pastor has pointed out, that with the resignation of the then board president and also the retirement of the then superintendent, Peru's probably not going to be the district to take the ball up. So really the question is, does this board want to be the initiator? And I can serve on your behalf if you would like me to do so.
Honestly, I don't think Peru was willing to go at it again. They wanted to share it with other.
Distribute anyway.
Distribute. So I believe we kind of did mention that we probably would be interested in, but again, it's got to be our board of approval.
Is that something we could possibly get on the next agenda then for discussion?
Sure.
Okay. And I had one other, I had something else as well. The exit survey that's been sent out, I was wondering if those of us who are new could get a copy of that survey, since it's sent on behalf of the board and Mr. Amo, apparently. And I will say that I have heard from a couple of employees who are no longer with us, who were, their positions were terminated. And they were very, very disturbed by receiving that survey because of the wording. And I think that we have to be a little bit more sensitive to that and maybe rework it a little bit. That's why I'd like to look at it, because one of the questions is, why did you leave the employment of the school? Well, I left the employment of the school because you let me go. And that was the response that I got from these people.
That question was brought up last month, and we discussed it, and brought to a consensus to send it out to everybody as is. And we knew that there was going to be some...
I would just like to see it and see what people are receiving, if that would be okay. And
well, I think I think this could be a whole board.
Committee also that we did not have until now.
Okay.
Well, the survey was part of your board packet, one of the last meetings, so you know what the survey was. For the newest members, they would not necessarily...
Right, we haven't received... I would just like to look at it if I could.
I turned to Gary because I when we communicated meeting out of our office, Joanne did my letter and sent it to the parties with an invitation as tactful as I could make it. Understanding as many people did, the timing of it for the exiting teachers and staff members could very well have brought reactions similar to what apparently has been heard. That was briefly, I communicated that before we did the survey. Having said that, we also wanted to put the survey online as an invitation for those who wanted to respond to it, but we didn't necessarily want them to have to do a postage stamp in order to return it. So by putting it online, they would be able to communicate off there and just attach it as an email to the board clerk.
So is it on our website now?
I was just looking, asking Gary, and I probably, with my oversight in asking him to put it online, we told the people we sent it to it will be online. So yes, it will be online, the forum itself, but I certainly can do an independent email to any board member present who would like to see it immediately.
The only other thing we can do is if the exit survey committee tailors them so that if you're being terminated, that you don't get one like that.
Right, there might be some questions that are for involuntary departures and then others that are for voluntary. I just think it added a little insult to injury, and I know that's not what the intent was, and we're certainly not going to get maybe some helpful response that would have come from some of these people if we had asked things differently. I just think we might need to look at it, and I would like to see what's been sent, if we could.
If it's online, it could be requested, a voluntary thing.
It is voluntary. We sent it out to everybody already, but the thing was, you're not required to respond. It's simply if you care to respond.
Right.
But I guess in my role as superintendent, I will tell you that I understood when we did the exit survey that there was at least a probability that individuals who, through no choice of their own, being asked to leave the district, might have reactions to the form. But we do business as a body, and the body, we reviewed it, we weighed those issues, and that's why the survey was submitted the way it was.
We might be able to fine-tune it a little or determine that we don't need to, but it's something maybe we should look at again. And I only had one other thing, I promise. I've also had some contact from community members who are saying that, and there might be some misunderstanding on my part and on the part of the community about this, but that since, you know, this budget has been now passed and we're not under the same building use restrictions that the contingency budget brought to us, is there a possibility of reopening the fitness center? And there have been some really good ideas that have come out of that as far as some volunteers and maybe partnering with a program that's a SUNY. And I'd like to have further discussion about that, not tonight, but maybe we can get that on an agenda soon. Thank you.
And one thing, I'm sure Mary will know if she's here for that meeting, but what's budgeted? What will allow what the budget will allow.
So I appreciate the delay because Mary's not here. I would be floundering a bit.
That's okay.
Certain on the real numbers for everybody.
Yes, Kathy.
I'd like to return back to seven, page 7 of 13, tuition rates F. After we voted and I thought about this a little more, I want to state that I'm feeling a little uncomfortable and I would like some clarification. Are we allowed to accept foreign exchange students but not have tuition students?
Are we allowed to accept foreign exchange students?
Because I know that's something that we were working towards.
Any foreign exchange students that the board would be able to proceed establishing would be for their cost to be here, inclusive of out-of-district tuition.
Okay. But we can't say, I'm just pulling this off the top of my head. I'm not being specific. A student from Shazy wants to come here.
Right.
Is that different than accepting a foreign exchange student?
Yes. Different price.
Yeah, I know the price is different, but is the policy different? Is the legality different? The reason why is I'm very concerned with our economic climate and a lot of the potential for fiscal damage to our district if we have special education students tuitioning into our district.
Multiple issues there.
Yes, I know. But you can't accept one and not the other. That's why I'm wondering if foreign exchange is different than...
Our district, as Leanne has pointed out, all districts are under the same law with respect to special needs students moving around the districts. Mm-hmm. We have our fair share of entries long after budget is developed, mm-hmm. Where family conditions have changed for some families, where the mm-hmm. courts have taken action and placed families mm-hmm. in our jurisdiction. Of course, we have no say over any of that. And therefore, any of the bills, if you will, associated with it become our bills by law. Mm-hmm. So you're right. We face this issue every year. Mm-hmm. Unexpected, unanticipated expenses mm-hmm. for which the board and the district would have absolutely no prior knowledge to know about. And you'll see us coming from time to time with an update to say, you know, we've got four more families and here's the additional cost that's going to come with it. So that's the last part of the question. With respect to foreign exchange or foreign exchange mm-hmm. programs, I brought to the attention of the board this past year the possibility of trying to research the value. And could we, in fact, get working cooperation with companies that do the exchange programs to see if it would be a cost benefit to the district to mm-hmm. offset any costs that we have? Mm-hmm. It could be special, it could be any cost. And yes, we can. The difficulty with that, I discovered, is after working with the State Department and a few other agencies, is that there's about a year period of time because Homeland Security is now very involved. Mm-hmm. Where in the past it would have just been a private agency working with the district, saying, let's work with the families, put mm-hmm. a tuition together, and they're good, you're good, here's your ticket, you know, go. Now Homeland Security is very involved in doing extensive background checks on the families that wish to have their students placed, foreign exchange students, as well as the receiving district. So yes, we'd all be under some kind of scrutiny to determine that we're not recruiting. It's that mm-hmm. you get the idea.
Yeah.
I don't fault that. My point is, on the topic of getting in place for this year, there apparently is about a 9-month delay to even say to you, mm-hmm. do you want to, we're ready if you want to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to affect this year's budget or this year's offsetting costs. I will bring, I'll continue to research it, and I will bring the status of that to the board at a point when you're in. I can say to you, if you want to do this, here are the terms and conditions. If you are so willing to do so, a phone call tomorrow morning will put in place 8, 10, 12 students being able to come next year mm-hmm. to this school district. I can bring you that information as I learn more about it. Mm-hmm. But I stopped doing a lot of the legwork on it when I was first informed that, well, that's great. You're not talking about this year, are you? Because this is about a 9-month to a full year process.
I'm confused. I am confused because you're talking about this. It sounds as though you're talking about something new. We have foreign exchange students that come here.
Not to our school. We do?
Yes.
My kids have been friends with several.
Yeah.
The program I'm referring to expanding through American Federation of Exchange Programs.
Yeah, but there's a difference now.
We charge tuitions, we get paid.
We're not charging the kind of money we could charge, though. That's the issue. With that new ruling by the state, we can now say $50,000, you don't pay it, you don't come. We get to set the rate. We don't charge $9,000. That's what you're after is money. Because the private schools could always do it. We weren't allowed. And they've changed the rulings. If Mr. Amo researched that.
If it's helpful, feeling a little awkward, my detailed explanation was on a 1A, I guess. I didn't hit the 1, the point 1 that you're primarily seeking. I can get the information together on a number of foreign exchange students that we currently have, the status of whether or not there's a tuition that they're paying and what is that tuition. And then that's information I can bring back to the board, and it may give credence for the conversation on what I was talking about to also be held together.
That would be helpful.
That doesn't quite answer my question.
Right.
My question is, I'm concerned with special education students paying tuition in the district.
Okay.
And that could be. I'm going to throw up another example.
I know what you're talking about.
We'll say a family is very upset that their child cannot be sent to BOCES in their home district. So they tuition in our district because we will send them to BOCES. So we spend, pay $9,000, but we pay $100,000 to send them to BOCES. So my concern is whether having the tuition at all is a cost-effective decision if potentially you could be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that could include residential. It can include all kinds of things.
Joe, could you give us a comment on that?
Maybe the legality of charging a tuition for special needs students after they've been assigned within their district.
I thought you already addressed that. You already said that they would be paying tuition.
Yeah,
well,
can you talk about a differential
cost? Yeah, but the basic, the 9,000, not the 30,000,
40,000. Right. It depends on what that child's special needs are. But we're not allowed, as a district, we're not allowed to change our tuition rate because they have a disability. But if their services exceed $9,000, we have to pay it, not the home district. So that's where my question's coming
from. You're saying whether or not we should allow any...
Should we allow tuition students at all?
That's right. That's a good question. And, you don't want us to have to look back.
Because it'll take one. It would take one student to be catastrophic.
You don't want us to have to look at the history of that so far over the past, say, 5 years. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Something to think about.
Eric?
And I think, if I remember correctly, part of your question from Kathy was, and if we decided not to allow students from outside the district to come in, could we then still offer a foreign exchange program?
Right.
And is that allowed? So, for example, can I have, kids coming from Europe and paying the tuition, but denying people from outlying districts from coming in? And doubtless, I think that was one of the questions.
That was
because of that concern of the financial.
Is there an answer on that? I believe that would be a problem. Looking at a different situation,
like a discriminatory.
Should you accept other students who were, otherwise not disabled, and exclude disabled students that were coming into the district that wanted tuition into the district? I think if you would do that, I think you'd have a real problem from a legal standpoint.
But
I don't believe that you could do that.
But could you decline all students from surrounding districts, but still have a foreign exchange program that goes outside?
I believe that's a problem.
Okay, so that's...
It sounds like it would be a problem.
No, answering.
I think we're looking at it a different way. I think we're looking at it the wrong way. The issue, I think, having talked to other parents and stuff that come to the district, say they go to Shay-Z and they walk in with an IEP and Shay-Z says, we can't do that, we can't do that, we can't do that, but Beekmantown will do it. And the kid moves to Beekmantown. Now, they've shifted their $30,000, $40,000... away from them to us. That's the issue, is are the schools shirking the rules by saying, go to Beekmantown, they got an excellent, excellent program, go there. And I've seen it, the other schools are coming down and we're going up. because that's what they're saying. I don't want to have special ed. Go to Beekman Town. They'll follow your IEP to the letter. They're great. The parent goes, okay. And they go rent in Beekman Town. That's, I think, how you have to address it, because you can't say to a kid, you're not coming. If he wants to move in.
You can deny tuition.
Well, my point is, though.
You can say we are not accepting tuition.
Yes, you can't stop them. But my point is, though, but what about, we need to have a study, where are the kids coming from? If you have, if we sit here in 1 year, we get 13 kids from Chazy, we got an issue. And that's the only way to go at it, because you can't attack the kid. You got to tag why are they coming here, because.
Yeah, but that's changes of residency, and that's different than what I'm asking. I'm asking for tuition students, so someone who lives in another area but still comes here for services.
I know one of our neighboring districts for years, I don't know what their present policy is, but they did not accept any non-resident students. But the thing we would have to know, I believe, as a board before we made a decision, how many students are already here and have been here for a number of years that we would be impacting. That, at least for me, I'd just like to know that information.
I seem to remember, wasn't it Plattsburgh that stopped the outside tuition, but they allowed anybody who was currently already in the system to stay in. I believe is how they resolved that. I seem to remember that.
Yeah, but that's only half
that
the
how
problem.
They handled it?
Yeah, but that's only half the problem.
That was at least what they reported in the news. So I don't know.
Anybody can move in and rent.
Yeah.
So,
but you can't stop that.
I just tell you though. So, I mean, that's all they got to do is come in and rent, and they've gone around all your protections.
I would also like to know if we're breaking even. If we were to look at our policy, that we might change it and know how many we have coming financially. Are we breaking even? You know, or are we paying a lot more additional money out just to help make a decision?
Is that something I like NISPA to give us a class on?
You don't have the money for one. When we developed this policy some years ago, we knew it was a crapshoot. We knew what we could be getting into. And that's why our recommendation was always that we did not lower the tuition any, that it stayed up high. And we monitored it every year. And Leanna, we have never run into a problem with special ed kids, have we? Coming in. Specifically
tuition in for it?
Yeah.
We've had a couple ask, and I haven't had room in those programs.
So I know it's something that we've monitored and we've handled, and that's how we've done it over the years. And we, I think we've always left it open every year pretty much as a discussion to, we can do away with the tuition anytime we want if it becomes a problem.
I just, my fears with budgets the way they are in our fiscal situations, and not just this year or last year, but the years to come, that the potential for being one student even could really change our whole perspective on that.
And just for the record, if you're talking to high needs kid, you're not talking $30,000. You're talking between $80,000 and $100,000. Yeah. I just want to make sure people understand the money issue. $30,000 a kid I can take in house and make a program for. You're talking BOCES, I'm looking at 50 plus.
Yeah, but we don't get that far. We don't get to 80,000
for. No, we would only get the 9. Or the 6.
You would, as a district, we would eat that. We would take a deficit off that. Yes, we would.
And there's no way to go back to the home district for that?
No.
Not unless they're foster kids.
No. But we have a policy committee coming up. Maybe we can turn it over and have people look at it and see what they can come up with.
I think Diane wants to.
Yes.
Just to weigh in on the gen ed side of this.
Yeah.
Last year, I had a student who was tuitioned into the high school. Another piece of this is CB Tech, which is $10,000 a year per student. So this student did tuition in from a different district, did attend CB Tech, and in fact did not stay the year, so paid a prorated tuition. So it's not just a special education situation, it is gen ed also, that any program we offer, students have the opportunity and the right to.
We had to pay the whole $10,000 for both of these, probably.
Yes.
See, we went down to the meeting, the three of us went down to Albany. They have a little town just south of Albany, has the same problem we have. Everybody comes to their district because they're supposed to have a really good special ed. 20% of their budget now is special ed. And it's killing the school. They can't afford it. But no one can come up with a way, you know, to help, because I'm saying if you're eating $40,000, $50,000 for a student, it doesn't take very long to kill you So, I mean, if there's any way we can find some kind of research on something that can be done about that, because, I mean, there's no limit to what you can end up spending because you have to.
Richard, you're on the policy.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want to be on.
Okay, well, let's continue.
I just have one quick, on a totally unrelated topic. I was interested in meeting with some of the heads of the departments, such as like Mr. Lambert, Mary Blaine, and I was wondering, do I need board approval to do something along those lines? And if so, I'd like to get board approval.
Could I ask a question?
Sure, of course.
Spinning off that, did I understand that you will be meeting with the new board members?
Yes.
Three times?
Yeah.
And asking for dates?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then responding to our, I don't know if you're asking the president to respond, but I will offer some information before.
Anybody to respond.
That my intention of having three board members, my intention was setting up dates, ideally within the calendar before we meet tonight, for the purpose of being able to target topics that are critical for your understanding as new board members. And those topics would involve bringing in the key supervisors from those departments to match up with the topic. After we do those sessions, then that's my intention. Now, above and beyond that, maybe the protocol question that's I'm reserving the board to weigh in on as to whether or not you are wishing/expecting requesting, whatever the term would be, to have direct communication with the building administrators and supervisors at will. That's really the key question at the table. I would offer my response to that first, if I could, and that would be that there are there's probably real simple things that a quick phone call is all that's needed to resolve. You have a play going on and I've lost the dates and I can't reach the clerk or whatever, could you tell me, Mr. or Ms. Principal, what is it? That makes perfect sense. You don't need to go through a whole bunch of concerns. What I would be concerned about is that if we're going to have building liaisons from the board anyway, there's going to be individuals of you who are assigned to schools for that very purpose, is to get into and talk to the building and learn about anything you'd like to know about. Generally speaking, I prefer to at least, however you want to do this, I prefer to at least be involved with the knowledge that you're there, minimally, because there's things that I could have answered and they can't, only because of the authority perspective. They could have a great conversation, but you're still left with, well, can we do it? And the second reason I have some minor trepidation is that if individual members are having individual conversations that is not privy to the rest of the board, it's very awkward for me to be able to offer information to the full board and or give a comprehensive picture for everyone that I've been asked to do this by one member, and the rest of you may or may not even know that the conversation is occurring. It's only for those reasons that I offer my own presentations, but I defer to the board on its wishes.
And I just like to make a comment because I used to sit in a chair like Mary. That position has high demands. I would hate to guess how long she is able to sleep at night. So having said that, I think we all need to be aware of that they have jobs to do. And we put demands on them in addition to whatever. But I just wanted to share that.
I don't have a problem emailing anybody for a question, but for example, if I had a question for Andy, like I would email it to Scott, ask the question, and then the whole board knows I asked it. Because the problem is, like, you might want to answer that day, and they're gone somewhere, there's something else, and he can get the answer from somebody else, or it's just, as long as you don't think you can get the answer like that day or that week, because sometimes they might be in the middle of a budget session in your budget month and you might not get an answer for a month because there's other things going on. So if you look at it that way, you can ask anything, basically. It's just when you ask the question, the whole board needs to know that you're asking it so that we understand what's going on, too.
That's kind of why we communicate. When we communicate through email, we try to, if you ask a question, you email everybody, and the response goes to everybody.
I'd just like to say, my main goal was just to be able to, find out what do they do. So, for example, you know, I figured during the summer is probably the best. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're setting up is exactly what I was looking for. I mean, I think if I need more than that, besides being on policy or, you know, on one of the committees, I can also ask what other committees. And if I felt I need to do something else, I would go in front of the board and say, I'd really like to sit down with so-and-so about this particular thing. So.
Yeah. Well, so let's try to move this meeting on. Public comment. Anybody? Yes.
I would just like to
welcome please say your name.
Diane Porter, and I would like to welcome the new board members, and I would like to say thank you to the board for taking on another year. I would just like to say also that I felt this evening that there were a lot of good questions that were asked, and the discussion that went on was very informative, and I think everybody here appreciated all of that. And I would like to just comment on the last question that Kathy had asked. I think that she really hit the nail on the head with the question here, and I would really hope that this board definitely thinks seriously about what she said, because when she brought it up and just started thinking about it, with the economic times that we are in now, that could be devastating, you know, to the school. So, you know, I hope that everybody really, really thinks about that and realizes that, you know, the times have changed and everything. But again, very informative session tonight, and it was appreciated. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I would just reiterate what Diane just said. Thank you.
Okay. We have we're going to need a clerk to pull it down.
I volunteer you. I volunteer you.
Volunteer me. Thanks.
I'll second.
I know I'm going to be
all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we need to go into executive session motion.
Second.
This year is going to be to discuss employment history of a particular person or persons.
Already made it.
Somebody needs to second it.
Is there anything else?
I think we all did.
Kathy, are you?
Do we have any other things that are in addition to this?
Do
any
business.
No.
Oh.
No, but I'm saying, is there anything else in the executive session?
No.
Or is this covers?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Okay, motion to go
into executive. Motion by Richard.
Who's
seconded? Cassidy. Somewhere else. Somewhere else. Somewhere else.
Somewhere.
I actually think
you
need to get up here. You have to be loud.
All right.
Okay. Five
yes, we do.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.